This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. There's a story in the New York Times that's getting a well-deserved amount of buzz, an investigation into two Chicago-area Ford Motor Company factories rife with sexual assault and mistreatment in a workplace culture that has lasted for decades. Susan Chira and her colleague Katrin Einhorn reported this story, which you do need to know, the recounting of which might not be appropriate for everybody who is nearby. Susan Chira, welcome to the program.
Lovely to be here.
Tell you what, there is so much in this piece to unpack. I want to start with the thing that jumped out at me first. It's all horrific, but more to the point, I guess, this is the first one of these stories or investigations we've seen that have been almost entirely blue-collar workers and specifically women of color.
That's right. That was very much the intent. A lot of us at the Times have been discussing how to expand our coverage of sexual harassment, and months ago, we knew we wanted to focus on blue-collar women because much of the reporting had looked at women in white-collar workplaces.
Yeah. The great thing about this piece, just from a radio reporter perspective, is that you have sound. You have the voices of these women. I want to play one now and talk about it. Her name is Tanya Exum. And here's something that she told you in the Times.
There were instances where he would come up and smack me on my bottom. The day that really sent me over the edge, I was loading a robot, and he walked into the same cell that I'm in and grabs my behind. I turned around to him, and I said, "Keep your hands to yourself. As I've told you plenty of times before, I'm not interested."
So I'll tell you, that was one of the milder pieces of tape in this piece, as you know.
Indeed.
Yeah. You and your colleagues wrote this about the environment in these Chicago plants. Sex, swagger, suspicion, and racial resentment were pervasive. Give us a sense of what it was like out there for these women.
What the environment was like is that these women entered factories where men had always been in charge. They were in the minority, both in terms of being women and in terms of being African American, although gradually the African American population at the Chicago assembly plant swelled. But they were entering a man's world, a world where there was a lot of sexual entitlement. The power was held largely by men who could wield it to get sexual favors or threaten punishment, either by assigning them to physically demanding jobs that were grueling and could cause injury, or by excusing latenesses or other issues where they were sort of had them over a barrel.
Yeah. These women, though, were in theory protected by really strong union membership, the United Auto Workers. Here's Terry Lewis Bledsoe talking about that.
The union, they really didn't want us to call the hotline. It was going to close the plant. And then the union also told me, "Terry, if I was you, you need to stop complaining this much. Stop going to labor relations because you're going to make a name for yourself." And I said, "What is that?" "You're going to be called a troublemaker." "Then a troublemaker I shall be."
It's a lose-lose deal for these women.
Yes, that's the thing that Katrin and I discovered. All the people who were supposed to protect them failed them. Now, the union and co-workers were very, very concerned that making trouble could close the plant. Remember, the auto industry hovered on the brink of bankruptcy only in 07, 08, 09. So this was a very strong memory. And then the union, you know, overall, their first priority was protecting jobs. Right. It's not to say that there weren't people who really helped these women, because there were, but they were not in the majority.
Ford says it takes all investigations and claims seriously, but a lot of these harassers, accused or otherwise, still on the job years later.
That's right. I have no doubt, and our interviews with Ford suggested that there were a lot of sincere efforts to curb the harassment over the years. But what we learned is that in an environment like this, where even culturally in our society, there's still so much pervasive harassment, you can never take your eye off the ball. And there are a lot of things you have to do. And one of them is you have to make it clear that harassment can cost you your job. And so if workers see that men known to be harassers at the plant are still there, they think anyone can get away with it.
Susan Chira, along with her colleague Katrin Einhorn at the New York Times, in a piece that I can't recommend strongly enough about harassment at the blue-collar worker level, specifically of women of color. It's amazing. Susan, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.